But the disciples, when they were faced with a problem that was bigger than themselves, they didn't run from it. Instead, they ran to God in prayer. And sometimes when we're in the situation that we're in and we don't know what to pray, we go back to God's word and we see what he's done time and time again. Prayer is how God shapes us. One day, a man and his friend were talking about biblical things. This man's friend looked at him and said, "Man, you don't really know much about the Bible. In fact, I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I'll place a bet. I'll give you $10 if you can recite the Lord's Prayer." The friend thought about it for a second and said, "Yeah, I'll take that bet." "Okay, well, let's hear it." The man, he cleared his throat, looked up and said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." His friend looked at him and laughed, reached in his pocket, pulled out $10 and said, "Man, I didn't think you knew it." Handed it to him. See, the Lord's Prayer. See, today we kick off a brand new series talking about prayer. And in this series, we're going to be taking a little bit of a look at the Lord's Prayer and talking about different aspects of it. But the thought behind silent mode in this series that we're in is we're going to be taking a look at what does it look like to pray in a culture and in a society that is running at an unsustainable pace, at an overwhelming pace. In fact, it doesn't take long to look at the statistics and to hear about the epidemic levels of anxiety and depression and loneliness. And it doesn't take long to see that that kind of thing is taking place in our culture. And maybe some of you feel that. You're like, "Man, I don't know that I can sustain this kind of pace." And so in this series, Silent Mode, we're going to be taking a look. And if I could just sum up these 4 weeks into one phrase, here's what I would say. If you want to find peace, you have to find a new pace. If you want to find peace, you have to find a new pace. And prayer is the avenue for that new pace. In fact, when we think about prayer and we look at prayer, we look at Jesus, right? Jesus, we read in Luke 5:16 that Jesus embraced prayer. And in fact, this is what Luke 5:16 says. It says, "Jesus often withdrew to quiet and lonely places and prayed." Prayer was not just a part of Jesus' life. In fact, prayer was at every major point of his life. It was a daily thing. Sometimes Jesus would go without meals, he would go without sleep, or he would go without friendship for a little bit just to withdraw to pray. As we look at this prayer and as we look at Jesus modeling prayer for him, it was about finding the place where he could connect with God the Father. So over the course of the next few weeks, our hope is to begin to see prayer as the opportunity to grow in our relationship with God. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at what prayer is, what prayer is not. We'll begin to answer some questions. Maybe you've had questions like this where you're wondering, what do I do when I pray and the thing that I pray for doesn't get answered? Or maybe the way that I was praying for this thing or this certain outcome, and this certain outcome didn't happen. Did I pray wrong? Do I need to change the way that I pray? Or am I missing something? Then we're going to take a look and we're going to see why do I pray? Why should I pray if God knows everything? If he knows everything, if he knows my heart, if he knows my thoughts, he knows what's going to happen, like what is the point? I've had those questions, and maybe some of you have had those questions. And every single one of us have had, maybe you have questions, maybe you don't have questions, but we've all had an experience with prayer. Right, and so over the last couple weeks, I've actually asked some people, "Hey, what was like some of your first experiences or first encounters with prayer?" And as I heard these stories, maybe I was able to relate to some of them. Maybe you could relate to some of these as well. So I asked somebody, and they shared one of my earliest memories of prayer was sitting around a dinner table before a meal. Right, my family would pray every night before dinner, and then we would go on and we'd eat. And maybe for others of you, your first memories of prayer were actually at like maybe Thanksgiving or Christmas. And as your grandpa or your dad was praying, you're just thinking in your head, man, let's get this prayer over with so we can eat. I'm hungry. The food smells good, right, as a kid. Or maybe some of your earliest memories of prayer as you were growing up and your mom was watching you and you got in trouble. And your mom said, you know what, I've had it. Just wait till your dad gets home. So then the rest of the day, you're hoping and praying that she forgets to tell your dad, right? That's maybe some of you, those were some of your earliest memories of prayer, right? And those are funny and those are silly, but maybe you had a bad experience, right? Maybe you had a bad experience. Maybe one time you were praying and somebody told you that you were praying wrong or that you messed it up, you screwed it up, you said the wrong words, or maybe you felt like you screwed it up and you said the wrong words and you're like, you know what? I'm never gonna do that again. Or maybe, we know that prayer warrior, right? And that's just a term to say you know somebody who, if they could get paid to pray, they'd have a full-time job with benefits, right? They would, like, these are the people who are like, it's like if they pray and we're doing like a group prayer, I'm not gonna pray after them because, I mean, I'm embarrassed to pray, right? We all know those people who are really good at praying. And when I think back on, this isn't one of my earliest memories, but I'll say one of my most cherished memories of prayer. I wouldn't call it my favorite, but one of my most cherished memories of prayer was about 9 years ago. My family and I, it was a little bit after Christmas, and my grandpa, he was in the final stages of dementia. And it was me and my aunts and uncles and my cousins, and we were all gathered in this room. And he was at the place where he couldn't talk, he couldn't feed himself, he couldn't remember anything. And so he was laying there. We sang my grandma and grandpa's favorite hymns, and we prayed together as a family. And those are the last two times I remember seeing him smile. And so when I think back to that time, it was like, man, prayer and singing were the final things that he could relate with. See, every single one of us, maybe you've had an experience that's been similar to that in prayer, with prayer. Maybe you have some questions, but no matter what experiences or what questions you have, we want to take a look today at prayer, right? We're going to look at Jesus in a question or a statement that he receives from the disciples. In fact, if you like to take notes or you're taking notes, we're going to call today's message, Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. That's what we're going to start the series with today. We're going to look at this statement, Teach Us to Pray. Because when we look at Jesus's life, his life was intentional. It was very intentional. It was very directed. It was very focused. And he cared about other people, and he poured out so much day after day after day after day. And the disciples saw this. They were up close. They did life with him for 3 years. And over the course of those 3 years, they saw him do many things, right? They saw him teach with power and authority. They saw him do miracles. They saw him bring dead people back to life. And not only that, they saw him lead with honesty and integrity and humility and strength. And out of all the things that they saw Jesus do, the only thing that we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the story of Jesus' life, the only thing that we read where the disciples say, teach us, the only thing that they asked Jesus to teach them to do was to pray. They didn't ask him to teach them to teach them to heal, teach them to do miracles. Out of all the things they asked Jesus to do, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So there was something about Jesus's prayer life that the disciples picked up on, and they say, if I could model anything after Jesus, I want to know, Lord, how is it that you pray? Because that's what I want. So where do we read this? Where do we see this? Well, earlier in Luke 5, we see that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, but later in Luke 11:1 is where we see this. In Luke 11:1, this is what we read. It said, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and he said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, this is one verse, but this is a power-packed verse. There's a lot here. And what's interesting about this is Luke, he kind of writes a narrative, right? A narrative of Jesus's life. So he records a lot of the words of Jesus, but in between the words of Jesus, he kind of fills in the gaps, and he shares like what happens between the times that Jesus would talk. And so it may look like a little simple thing to read that Jesus, one time, Jesus was in a certain place and he was praying. But what's fascinating about this is Jesus was in a certain place. Luke wasn't so much focused on where that place was. But here's what we know. He was in a place praying where the disciples could see him. And I don't think Jesus was doing it to necessarily be seen, but he was in a place praying. So the disciples, they see this and they see, man, Jesus is full of power. He's full of grace and truth. He leads with honesty and integrity. He does all these things. And in fact, if you and I, we had the characteristics and the traits of Jesus, you would be a hot commodity at your job, right? You would be somebody who a lot of people would want to hire. And they're honest. They lead with integrity. They have a good work ethic. They care about other people. They love other people well. Man, I'd want to hire that person. But they see this and they don't go up to him and say, Lord, teach us to do those things. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. He was in a certain place and they come up to him. And what's interesting about this is it wasn't the whole disciples who said it. It was one disciple. One disciple walks up to him and he said, Lord, teach us to pray. And there's something about the way that this is written. The way that this is written is it was one disciple who said this. But when Luke wrote this, the way he wants us to see this is like, I think he's wanting us to capture that same heart of that one disciple. Yes, it was one disciple who lived 2,000 years ago. But what if you and I adopted that same kind of teachability, that same type of hunger, that same type of, Lord, teach me to pray. Yes, it was cool that the disciples asked that question, that the disciples said that. But what if you and I had the same heart of the disciple to say, Lord, teach me to pray? Because honestly, we could go on with the rest of the series. We could talk about aspects of prayer. We can answer questions. We can begin to look at like, man, how do we pray? What does it look like to have a life of prayer? But if you and I don't have the heart to say, Lord, teach me to pray. If we don't have the heart that's open to say, Lord, lead me, Lord, guide me, Lord, teach me, then we may not get out as much as if you and I were to say, Lord, here's my heart's posture. And so before we go any further into this series, I want to ask the question, what is your heart's posture as we go throughout this? Are we coming to listen or are we coming to be taught? Are we coming to be shown, Lord, teach me this? Like maybe you've had a long history with prayer, or maybe you're here today and the only reason you're here is because your mom invited you to church and you're sitting here with her. And no matter where you're coming from, every single one of us can have the heart's posture to say, Lord, teach me to pray. See, the other day, actually a while ago, I was sitting with a friend, and this friend and I, we were talking about things, and the topic of prayer and spiritual disciplines came up. And as we were talking about this, he shared a story of an author, and I can't remember the name of the author, so I'll give it to my friend who said this. He said, prayer, or the spiritual disciplines, or the spiritual practices, prayer is like, the spiritual disciplines are like this current, or this strong river that's flowing. And as we think about prayer, I want us to picture us on the edge of this river, right? I know this sounds silly, but picture us on the edge of this river. We're standing on the shore in the sand, looking out at this mighty river that's flowing by. It's one thing to stand on the shore and to see the power of the river as it flows by. But it's another thing to remove ourselves from the safety of the shore and put ourselves in the middle of this river. See, prayer is really similar to that. And as we look at what the disciples are seeing here, they're seeing that Jesus is living a life of, he has power. He leads with power. He has the power to cast out demons. He has the power to pray for people. And when he prays and when he talks and when he speaks, things happen. So when they come to him, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. What they're saying is, Lord, I want to get off the shore and I want to get into the river. Or maybe another metaphor is to say this, Lord, I want to get off the sidelines and I want to get into the game. I want to get in the game. I want my faith to grow. And as they do this, so they go up to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And when they do that, Jesus responds. And as he responds, he goes into the Lord's Prayer. and Luke. And as we look at the Lord's Prayer over the course of the next few weeks, it appears in two places. We see that it comes up in Matthew and that it comes up in Luke. And when it comes up in Matthew and when it comes up in Luke, we see Jesus, he says this. He says, when you pray. And when we look at this, we're actually going to look at Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So when we look at this prayer and we look at the Lord's Prayer, there's a lot that we can say about it. In fact, there's so much that we can look at it that that's what we're going to be talking about the next couple of weeks. We're going to take aspects of that prayer and really dive deeper into that. What does it look like to pray when the things that we prayed for don't come true, right? Oh, the things that I was hoping would happen and I was praying for don't happen. Do I stop praying or do I keep praying? Or God, I'm in the middle of a transition or I'm in the middle of a change and I'm seeking you. God, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth and in my life and in this situation as it is in heaven. And then we'll go on and we'll look at what does it look like to pray bold prayers? Is it wrong to pray bold prayers? Is it wrong to pray and to ask? And as we ask, is there a right way to do it? Is there a right way to pray? Is there a wrong way to pray? How do we do that? And so there's too much to cover today. And so here's what I want us to say, to see today before we go into those things the next couple of weeks. What I want us to see is if you and I, if our heart's posture is to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, Lord, I've committed. I've said, Lord, teach me to pray. Then what we have to do is we have to take the next step to say, Lord, I'm going to commit to pray. I'm going to commit to pray. It's one thing to say, teach me to pray, and I can get all the teaching in the world, and I can hear all the good news and get good information, but if I don't do anything with it, if I don't do anything with that information, then all I've done is heard, and I may not grow. I may not see the kind of growth that maybe I would hope for. And so you and I, it's taking the step to say, it's one thing to say, teach me to pray, but it's another thing to say, I'm gonna commit to pray. So what does that look like? And that's what we're gonna spend the rest of our time talking about today. Lord, how do we commit to pray? What does it look like to commit to pray? And like I said, you know, there's a lot of us in here, right? We all come from all different walks of life, different stages. Maybe you're at different places in your walk with Jesus. And so as we look at this, we're gonna, maybe for you, I'm gonna lay out four different steps that you can commit to. And you don't have to do all four steps at once. You don't have to do all four steps today. You don't have to do all four steps this week. My encouragement to you is just to commit to take the next step. What does it look like to commit to take the next step in your walk with Christ? And so let's start with this. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I haven't necessarily prayed. I wouldn't consider myself a person of prayer. You know, I pray, maybe I pray for a meal or maybe I just don't even pray. And so maybe for you today, the first step is I'm gonna commit to start. I'm gonna commit to start. I'm just gonna start praying. That's the first step is, and sometimes, and honestly, the first step is almost always the hardest step. In anything that you do, it's just like a good diet, right? I'm gonna start tomorrow. And when I start tomorrow, I'll put it off to tomorrow because I don't wanna necessarily start today. It's gonna be too hard to make that happen. I'm gonna commit to start. Or maybe in your marriage, maybe you're sitting here today and you're married and you say, you know, we've been married for a long time. And as I look back over the course of our marriage, I don't know that we've necessarily even ever really prayed together. Right, we pray before meals, but we've never taken time before, like at the beginning of the day or the end of the day to say, you know what, I'm just gonna take a moment and I'm gonna just, me and my spouse, we're gonna talk about it and we're gonna commit to start. We're just gonna commit to start praying. And I'll be honest, the first time, okay, so I'm a pastor, I know I'm standing on a stage and talking, but I'll be honest, I'll admit to you, this is a hard first step. This was really difficult for Carissa and I. And I know I'm a pastor and I know I'm sharing this, but this was a difficult first step to say, hey, you know what, let's start praying. It was awkward at first. I'll be honest, it was like, do you pray? Do you want me to pray? Like, how do we do this? What do we pray for? And it was, I'll be honest, it was weird for the first couple of days, the first couple of weeks. But as you begin to take those steps, as you begin to commit to it, commit to it. Not just commit to it once, I'm gonna commit to it. Then over the course of time, it gets a little bit easier. It's just like a baby taking the first steps. The first ones, it's awkward and it's wobbly and you're like, man, it's gonna fall over. And the baby will fall over a couple of times, but over the course of time, the baby gains the kind of strength that it needs to be able to do what it's supposed to do. So maybe you're here today and that's the first step is you say, you know what, I'm gonna commit to start. The next step, maybe you're like, you know what, okay, you know what, I've committed to start and you know what, I kind of pray, but when I pray, it kind of exists in between my ears, in my mind. And every time I pray, it remains in my head. You know, I remember thinking back when I was growing up, there was a lot of times when I would, at the end of the day, I'd be laying down and I'd be laying down in bed, getting ready to fall asleep and I'd start praying. In my mind, I'd start praying and then I'd fall asleep. And I'd wake up the next day and I felt bad. I was like, God, I'm sorry. I fell asleep on you. I'm like, are we okay? Right, I'm sorry. And so I finished my prayer in the morning. Right? But I would pray in my mind, right? I'd pray in my mind. And what I noticed was as I started praying out loud, I started falling asleep less in my prayers. But for you, maybe the next step for you is to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to pray out loud. You say, well, okay, that sounds good, right? That sounds easy in theory and concept, but what does it mean or what does it look like to pray out loud? I don't know what to say. I'm afraid I'm gonna say the wrong things. I'm afraid I'm gonna say the things that I wanna say don't actually come out of my mouth, right? I meant to say this, but I said that. So what do I do? How do I do that? And maybe for you, it's taking a one sentence prayer. What is a one sentence prayer? It's praying one sentence. Maybe for you, it's saying this. It's saying, God, thank you for loving me today. Amen. God, thank you for all the blessings that you've given me in my life. Amen. Maybe for you, it's saying, God, help me to love the people that I come into contact with today. Amen. Or for your mom with young kids, God, give me the patience that I need for today for these little kids. And as you commit to pray, maybe it's just a one sentence prayer. Maybe as you commit to pray, the one sentence becomes a little easy and the one sentence turns into a two sentence prayer. And then the two sentence prayer is like this. It's like saying, God, help me to love everybody that I come into contact with today and give me the patience for these kids at the same time. Or maybe it's saying this, God, my spouse is going through a hard time, they're going through a hard time at work. They're going through a transition at work. God, give them the strength that they need for today and just for today. Amen. It's just saying that out loud. And what begins to happen is as we pray and we say it and we hear it, it begins to give us the kind of strength that you and I need to grow in our relationship with Christ. And we do that by saying, you know, maybe for some of you, it's saying, I'm gonna take the next step and I'm gonna commit to pray out loud. And for others of you, maybe you're like, hey, you know what, I pray out loud, but a lot of times it's just to myself or I'm in the car or I'm in the parent pickup line or I'm heading to work or I'm heading from work or I'm on a walk. Maybe the next step for you is to say this, you know what, here's my next step. I'm gonna commit to pray in the moment. I'm gonna commit to pray in the moment. And what does it mean to commit to pray in the moment? Well, I'm gonna confess another thing. I don't know if this is more of a teaching today or just a confession of all the ways that I've screwed up in the past, but over the course of time, what I've noticed and what I've recognized is when somebody would share something with me, I would say the phrase, man, I'm sorry that happened. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. And over the course of the last few weeks, I've really been challenged with that, to stop saying, hey, you know what, I'll be praying for you, and to say, you know what if I take that opportunity, that moment of vulnerability, if somebody shares something that they're going through, what if I take that opportunity to say, I'm gonna pray in the moment? Because what if, and I don't know, this is a big what if that person that is vulnerable and shares what they're going through, their faith is weak, and not weak in the sense that it's like, man, I need to look down on them, but they're going through a hard time. And by sharing this, what if you and I, we pause the pace of life, and we seek the peace of God in that moment together. Like, what if you and I, we could take that moment and we could pause everything and say, you know what? Hey, do you mind if I pray with you right now? Thanks for sharing that. What if you and I can encounter the presence of God right here, right now? And the beautiful thing about prayer is prayer doesn't have to only happen in a prayer closet. It doesn't only have to happen on your own. It doesn't only have to happen in the quiet place. You can pray anywhere. And the reason we can pray anywhere is because God is everywhere. It's this term called omnipresent. Omna, it's like a compound. It's like two words put together. Omna means all and present means places. God is all places at all times. And so that means when you're going through a hard time in that moment, in that place, at that time, God is there. You can seek him right there. You can pray in the moment. If you and a friend are talking and they're going through a hard time, or maybe their marriage is on the edge of its rope and you're sitting there and you're like, man, I don't see how we're gonna make it. Or maybe you're going through a restructure or a reorganization or a realignment at work. Or maybe you have broken and fractured relationships with your kids or with a friend or something like that. And they come and they share that with you. Take the moment and say, hey, thank you for sharing. Do you mind if I pray with you right now? Do you mind if I pray with you right now? And over the course of the last week, I've challenged myself to stop saying, hey, I will be praying for you. And do you mind if I pray with you in the moment? And you know what all seven people said? Absolutely not, you weirdo. Like, what are you thinking? Like, what on earth? No, actually, none of them said that. Every single one of them said, yeah, I would actually really appreciate that. For you, maybe if you're taking that step to pray in the moment, it doesn't have to be this long prayer. You don't have to necessarily, like, think about all the words. Am I saying the right words? It's just take a moment to pray for that person. God, I know that you're with this person because you're everywhere. God, help them to know that you love them and help them to experience your comfort and your peace in this time. I think when something like that happens, I think that's what we could maybe call a sacred moment. If we have sacred moments with our friends or our people who are our people, right? Our tribe, our people who are going through a hard time. What if we pause the pace and we experience and we encounter the powerful presence of God and we invite the presence of God and the power of God into this situation, right? God is already there. We don't have to wait for him to show up. He is already there in the midst. And maybe it's pausing to pray in the moment is taking the opportunity to recognize that God's right there with you. And when you recognize that God's right there with me, I don't have to pray, God, be with me. God, I know you're with me. And because you're with me, God, let me walk through this situation in a different way. God, I because you're here, I know you'll give me the power and the strength to take the next step. And by pausing to pray in the moment, you and I get to experience and encounter the tangible presence of God. And maybe for your friend, or maybe for you, asking for somebody else to pray for you, maybe that's an opportunity to say, hey, for this moment right now, I need to lean on you and I need to lean on your faith because right now I'm weak. And by pausing to pray in the moment, or maybe not pausing to pray in the moment, we may be robbing that person the opportunity to lean on somebody in that moment. You may be wondering, well, what happens if I offer and they say no? What if they say no? That's happened to me over the course of over the course of time. And here's what I know. The few people who have said no, whether it's months or years later, have come back and said, they know who to come back to. Hey, I know when I'm going through this, I know who to go to. I can go to this person because they're gonna pray for me. They care about me. And when they have nowhere else to turn, who else to turn but to somebody who's willing to pray for them and to say, hey, I'm here with you and I'm here for you, and there's a God who loves you and there's a God who's with you. Let me pray. Let's talk to him. Let's talk to him. So maybe for you, it's taking that step to commit to pray in the moment. And the last thing that I want to talk about as we wrap up today is we want to, as a church, we're going to commit to pray as a church. We're going to commit to pray as a church. And what does that mean? And what does that look like? And if you're sitting here today, don't get antsy in your seats. Here's what I mean by that. Well, over the course of the last few years, there's been a lot of people here at WCC who's had a desire to build a prayer room. And a couple weeks ago, there was a team of people like Karen Gerst and Bonnie Swanson who said, hey, let's make this happen. Let's make this happen. Let's build a prayer room. Let's make this prayer room available during the work, like during the work day, like during the work week, Monday through Thursday from 9 to 4. And so anybody, wherever you're at, if you are able to get here, you're invited to come and pray. And it's absolutely true that you can pray anywhere. You don't have to come to church to pray. You can pray at your home. You can pray in your car. You can pray anywhere. But as a church, we want to say, we want to be a church of prayer. So wherever you're at, maybe you drop your kids off in the morning and you say, you know what, I've got a big day ahead, but I need to take 10 minutes to come in and pray. You can come in and you say, well, okay, where is this prayer room at? Well, on your way out today, you'll see like a glass wall in the back of the auditorium. On the other side of that is what's called the quiet room. On Sunday mornings, it's called the quiet room, but Monday through Thursday, we're gonna call it the prayer room. As you walk in the prayer room, you're gonna see two large maps of Kosciuszko County and of the world. And as you look at those, you'll have the opportunity to pray for some of our local missions partners. You'll have the opportunity to pray for our foreign missions partners. But then on the third wall, there's gonna be what's called like a little prayer wall. And there's index cards and you can write an anonymous prayer request and clip it to that wall. And every single week, we have a team committed to praying over those prayer requests. Maybe you come in and you say, you know what, I'm gonna pray in the prayer room, but I want somebody to pray with me. We have a team of pastors and people, just people, all right? People who are willing to pray, who say, you know what, I'm gonna take some time and I wanna come and I wanna pray with you. So if you wanna pray with somebody or you just wanna come and you wanna sit in prayer, we have that space available. Just like in Luke 11, 1, when Jesus was in a certain place praying, then he finished and the disciples came up to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They were coming with open hearts to say, Lord, teach me to pray. But they were also saying, Lord, I want to commit to pray. So as you and I, as we think and we go throughout this series on prayer, my challenge for us is to have the heart to say, Lord, teach me to pray. And Lord, I'm going to commit to pray. So wherever you're at or wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, may that be our prayer to say, Lord, teach me to pray.
I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will
Well, thank you for worshiping here with us today. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the room and watching online. Go in the love of God this week. You're dismissed.